Sup, Beast Place, 10/16/2020. So, I read a really interesting article on Cracked. If you don't know, Cracked.com is the internet site based on a magazine from my childhood called Cracked, which was a joke, like a cartoon kind of joke comic. It wasn't really a comic book. Because it's a full-size magazine, it tended to be pretty thick. They came out monthly, Vice Weekly, and all this other BS. But essentially, it was, if you've heard of Mad Magazine or like Mad TV, it's just like a joke compilation thing. It's a lot of satire, which you'd expect, you know, bunch of left-wing stuff. And I have some really old ones that were like making fun of the John Birch Society. I think it was some kind of anti-communist thing back in the day. And so it was like slapstick. It was like completely ridiculous stuff most of the time. Spy vs. Spy was a Mad Magazine thing, but then Cracked seemed to me like it was like someone read a Mad Magazine and said, I can do that too. Kind of like a Esquire, GQ. GQ to me was always better than Esquire. Playboy Penthouse, depending on how you viewed it, you know, or Hustler. One was one thing, one wasn't. This was not, actually, this is a bad example, because Crack to me was just like a, I don't know how to say this, like a knockoff almost. So, I just thought it was never as high a quality. It wasn't as funny. You know, it was like, yeah, off-brand, you know? But it's still okay. You know, in a pinch, it would work. So then they have a website. But that website, instead of being about, like, funny stuff or jokes, it's, like, political. But it's, imagine you're reading what looked like a comic, you know, just cartoon magazine, and you're expecting humor, and you open up the first article, and it starts talking about the Fed. Like, what? That's what this thing is. It's like maybe Vox or Salon or Slate dressed up in comic and written in, like, an even more, a lot of the writing in this genre on the left is, first of all, highly entertaining. And it's written very much conversational tone and snarky and sarcastic. And the people, I don't know what that says about the people that write it or the fact that I like it. Like, I was reading an article in Esquire, loving every second of it. Well, even while I'm like kind of disagreeing with what it says, it's weird. But it's kind of a fun writing style, but I don't know that going through life snarky and sarcastic is a good plan. So, what can I say to that? I'll say this. And it's silly. A lot of if you try to read Cracked, and it's so, but sometimes they have good, like, listicle type stuff. Like, same thing with BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed is same thing. It's like if a teen magazine, if you're my age, like Tiger Beat, suddenly became all about politics, but still looked like Tiger Beat. In fact, I think that's happened across the board. I don't think there is anything apolitical except for like The Onion. Like, seriously, I went to look at Teen Vogue. I know. Well, I don't know. I was bored, and I'm like, I wonder what this looks like. I'm just gonna read about, like, I wonder what 14-year-old girls are looking at. It's all politics stuff. And then I thought about my childhood. I'm like, why were all these girls like vegetarians and vegan? Well, there were no vegans, but vegetarianism was like, I think I should be a vegetarian. Even then, we wouldn't do it. They'd talk about it. They're all like weirdly lefty. And it was like confusing. Like, why are all of these girls, like, why do they all act that way? And then I'm reading Teen Vogue, and I'm like, oh, because they buy these magazines is like, that's the cool thing that chicks read, and for fashion and, you know, whatever it is they're looking for, I'm not sure. But when they open it, it's like two adverts for lipstick and then an article about how they should be, you know, worried about their abortion rights. There's nothing wrong with lipstick ads, and there's nothing wrong with worrying about your abortion rights, right? You might argue that, in fact, it's probably good that you worry about whatever it is you want to worry about. Let me take that back. Be interested in things you think are important to you, right? Whether you're 13 or 37 or whatever, but it's all, like, I feel like it's probably gotten worse. I don't know, because I'm not going to find a, you know, Tiger Beat from whatever, but, and it's part of our issues we're having, is that you can't open up an unpoliticized form of entertainment. Kids stuff, I mean, it's hard to find some kid thing that doesn't have some sort of woke-ish morality tale to it that's new. And so there you have it. But reading Cracked Online, why? Because I like it. Same reason I look at, say, Fox News. Although I'm desperately, and I've gotten my usage. I had gotten it down where I wasn't looking at stuff. And then all of a sudden, because of, you know, in the middle of the COVID thing, I decided that'd be a good time to reinstigate this addiction. It's like, I can't break more than one addiction at a time. Like, or not addiction, but like stupid thing I do, like trying to not eat so much sugar. And then I'm like, you know what? Now I'm not like eating so much sugar. I've got my diet kind of like under control. Let's see what we can do about like not drinking as much, because, you know, I was kind of not tying one on, but like having more than I should on a Friday night, and then still kind of like feeling mildly crappy on Sunday, right? And like still tired. And I go back and I think that this isn't new. This isn't 44-year-old problem. This has always been true. I just never noticed. I just assumed as like, yeah, Mondays you're tired and beat down and da-da-da. So I was like, okay, I'm just not going to drink at all, basically. To echo Pink Sheet's wife, I don't want to have a glass of wine. I want to get effed up. I want to drink the whole bottle or two. So kind of trying to get rid of this thing, it sort of came back. Anyway, there was an article that was like kind of interesting. He poses some interesting questions. I'm going to kind of like not read the article or anything, but just go over some of it like real quick. Are humans smart enough to handle free speech? Yes and no. So he goes in the, and now he's asking these right-wing questions. These are like, so he has to devote a paragraph or two at the beginning of answering these things to alleviate his audience's automatic left-wing revulsion to them. So he got to get through a programming. So there's this programming wall that's programmed to not allow you to get through that, to defend itself, and you have to penetrate through it. You see comedians do it all the time. Joe Rogan constantly does this. If you think this guy's a left-wing shill, keep in mind that he wants to be able to say something. In order to do it without getting a lot of backlash, you have to get through the shields, the defense shields. When you tell a joke, he likes to tell jokes about chicks, so he makes fun of dudes first. He'll say something about dudes, and then he'll be like, all right, chicks, here's your thing. Because if you don't, you're going to get an automatic defensive response. And that automatic defensive response has to be negated when you're writing an article like this. It's sad, but whatever. And anyway, so are humans smart enough to handle free speech? Yeah. Yes and no. He makes the basic point that, number one, whenever you say something like that, what you're saying is, I'm smart enough to understand reality, but nobody else is. You feel special, but everybody feels special, right? And I think that the answer to that isn't that everybody can handle what reality is and parse through the Matrix. It's that no one can. But that leaves us only one option, which is government controlled. You can't do anything else. We're kind of getting there. We're going to get there with the these internet. I think some of these internet social media sites have pretty much are going to get something happen to them because neither side's actually really happy about it. The right's pissed off that they're getting censored, and the left's pissed off they're not censoring enough. So something's going to happen to regulate them, and it's going to be some kind of mix there. I would say that myself included, we're all vulnerable to this propaganda, whatever the nice story is. And, you know, and but it's hard too because, like, well, conspiracy theories, how can anyone believe in them? Well, because some of them are true. You know, like, historically speaking, Gulf of Tonkin is true. The Germans did a conspiracy theory on the Russians before World War II, on the Nazis against the Soviets in World War II, where they had a treaty saying they would never fight each other, and then the Nazis immediately attack the Soviets. So trickery is done. That being said, I think the only alternative is government control, because then who else should be allowed to do this? You can just let Jeff Bezos and Carlos Slim, I'm using them as examples, but Rupert Murdoch, to control it. Because that's kind of what's happening now, when a guy buys a paper, another guy buys another paper, and a guy owns a TV studio, and, like, it seems like, you know, the three main broadcast networks, CNN, MSNBC, appear to be on, like, almost a lockstep in what they're doing. Maybe we're already under government control, we just don't even know it. That the government's just being fascistic and just using private enterprise to control free speech. Who knows? But that being the case, it would have to be, if you did it overtly instead of covertly, it'd have to be government control, because no one else should be allowed, even in democracy. And then you get to the point where it's like, well, if the Republicans are in office and they control the news narrative, then they could perpetually stay in office by doing so. And I think that maybe that's what's happening in places like Mexico, because the same party was, like, in power for, like, 500 years, whatever. Not 500 years, but you get the idea. Another question he poses, what if democracy just doesn't work? Yeah, again, kind of, you know, like, the free speech argument is, or, you know, are we not smart enough for free speech? Yes. But not having it might be worse. And then what if democracy just doesn't work? Does it work? No. There's no form of government that really works all the time. Because how many can you have? You have democracy, right? We're not actually a democracy. We're a representative republic. There's constitutional monarchy. Monarchy, you know, where it's like God said that's the king's going to be because it's luck. You know, let's think about this for a second. It's funny. He's like, divine right of king. It sounds ridiculous. No, because God chose who the king was by who was born. Because if you're going to be the firstborn male child, that's God put the kid there. Therefore, that's God's choice. Not that far a leap, really. Anyway, then you have maybe an oligarchy, which would be like a rule of a small council of people. Sort of like, you know, people think that that's what we have in the United States. In other places, like, the rich are just controlling democracy and pretty much have been more or less from the beginning. Originally, if you think about the United States as a representative republic, it was an oligarchy of sorts. I mean, yeah, they voted and stuff, but it was like you had to own so much land before you were allowed to. You had to have a certain amount of wealth, you know, have a, you know, stake in the fight, as it were. I'm not sure that's a bad idea. Now, I'm not arguing for a poll tax or anything like that, but we allowing everybody to vote goes back to the free speech thing. It goes back, they're kind of intertwined, you know. If every single person is allowed to vote, and of course everyone else but you is stupid, then you know what I mean? Like, well, and what you're saying is, then when you get down to it, you're like, oh, no, I just want people to think like me to vote, or my tribe to vote. That's his exact line. Let's see if I can find it real quick, where he says it. Basically, in quoting from the article, he says, I just want people from my tribe to be able to vote, paraphrase, quote. And so, you know, and he talks about, like, he's upset about eating too much meat causing problems and stuff, but and then being upset that like things that he views, like, he picks out some topics that he views as like not like almost not non-negotiable, but as close to non-negotiable as it gets, and saying like, well, we can't not have that, and there, but we can't because right-wing people don't like it. Yeah, you know, like people have different interests, you know, and one of the problems of democracy is that every competing special interest group is trying to lobby and trying to get their way, and different ones have different levels of power and different levels of money and access. You might have a lot of money, but you're going up against an interest group that has, say, a lot of control of media or is much better at manipulating social media than you are. You know, that's like a funny thought, but is it? But what's better, right? So are we going to go to a monarchy? Are we going to go to an oligarchy? I mean, just make it overt and say like, hey, we're just going to hand everything over to the richest guys in the country because they're the richest, they must know the best. They're just going to look out for their own interests. They can't help it. It's not, you might say, oh, he's evil because he's just looking out for himself. That's just basic humanity. You have to understand that, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like even for someone like Jeff Bezos with all that money, it's almost an impossible stretch of like introspective. You need like a Sam Harris or like almost like a maybe Joe Rogan level of like introspective, like awareness and empathy in order not to like just do things that are in your best interest, even if you don't need it. You know, I got the rich father-in-law, and he won't give money to his son to get some dental surgery. He didn't have enough money. I mean, yeah, him and his wife make like, they're one percenters. They're like in the 250 range, but they wasted their money or whatever, and he didn't have it to do some dental work. The dad wouldn't give it to him, even though he had it. He has more than he needs. The mother, on the other hand, throws money at everything. Like, you know, I remember when we got married, she used to spend like, I don't know, it's like close to $200,000 on the wedding. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. And she said, well, I have more money than I know what to do with, and I want to spend it on this. And you're like, okay, all right. And then the dad won't give his son a couple $1,000s for dental work. Do you know what I mean? But it's because the dad's kind of looking out his own interests. There's also, there's a question here, and my real problem with that isn't that he does whatever he wants with his money, right? You do what you want. Doesn't, I would act differently, but whatever. My issue there is like he has this expectation that we're all like coming. He's like one of those boomers, came out of med school in 1972 and just expects everyone like, well, you had your chance and blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, no, you're the, when you were playing, you know, like they always use track like a race. When you were coming out of high school, let's say, or going into high school, there were far less participants on the track. I'm doing this, there's far more. And I don't mean population growth. They had things like discrimination working in their favor. I mean, it just ended. But there's like, by the time that me and his son were involved in this world and trying to like get by, we're no longer competing with just other white guys. That's basically what this guy had. You know, barely any women, barely any non-whites. And maybe like some, of course, there's always like Hispanics that are basically white guys that just have, you know, last name Ruiz. But that isn't, I'm not going to count that as diversity. So, and for this, but yeah. Anyway, moving on. Are men really becoming less manly? So he gets in this, he has to go through this big, big, like, yeah, toxic masculinity, but that's kind of BS because really what we're seeing is this. And he's like, and he goes in like, this is actually can cause health problems. And maybe, just maybe, those health problems are not great for society. And there's lots of reasons. Soy, obviously, the big one cited, but don't forget about plastics. PBCs, whatever it is. And he kind of talks about, that's an interesting thing that, you know, usually wouldn't be brought up on a left-wing site. But it kind of makes sense. I do think it's becoming less manly. So I happen to agree with him on this one, that we are becoming feminized. If anything, we have toxic femininity. Although I don't think it's that it's toxic. It's that it's not being balanced out. You know, even when raising our kids, my wife is so vocal about the way I interact with my kids. I interact in a rougher mode than she does, and she doesn't like it. And I'm like, dude, you're the one that's going to give him a hug and go, it's okay. Now, I prefer a white hat, but I have to be the black hat because she doesn't do it. She wants to spank him because it's easier and she's lazy. But I won't let her. But, right, she still does it to our daughter. So that's gonna work out well. You spanked me, but not him. Yeah, because you were a pain. That'll go well at the therapy session. But I don't think that's a good idea. But I also don't think it's a good idea to, like, baby them completely. You got to give them some rope. They got to, like, expand their thresholds, right? But he's only 3. Well, you could say that he's only 15. He's only 16. He's only 18. He's only 20. You can say that forever. Guys in their 60s are like, wow, he's only 40. You know, it's not about, like, an absolute variant of, like, the other thing that she does, it drives me nuts. She thinks it's okay to cry for physical pain, but not emotional pain. I'm like the opposite. She's like, oh, no, she's both. I'm like, you can't cry for physical pain. Okay, if something hurts physically, you got to, like, just suck it up. But that's not even the right word. You have to endure it. Because if you can't endure physical pain, you're lost. In a lot of ways, so I'm not going to go into here. We'll just get on to the next question. But yeah, I agree with him. It's not good. It's causing, like, a lot of guys to just get on testosterone replacement therapy. But why do I got to pay $2,000 a year to not